today we are continuing our series called Predicting Your Future. This is part two of a three-part series. And last week we laid the groundwork for this series by talking about how our direction determines our destination. So we looked at quite a few things, but one of the things that we really looked at was that the things that we did in the past, the decisions that we made in the past, affect where we are currently. And what we are doing currently can show us where we will be in the future. And so that's what this whole series is all about. You know, for instance, life is all about directions and destinations. We all have chapters in our lives and goals where we want to accomplish things. Things that we want to do. I want to become a better spouse. I want to be a good parent. I want to have a family. I want to get good grades in high school so that I can go to college and get good grades and have a career. And all of these things are chapters in our lives. And the decisions that we make during these chapters will affect where we're going to be. Because oftentimes what happens is we have this tension that we deal with because we have a path that we see where we want to be. I see myself going down this path. I want to further my career. I want to make sure my finances are in order. I want to be a part of a good family. You know, I want to be a good parent. And we see ourselves going down this path, but then something happens. We might make a bad decision. We might mess up. Life might just smack us upside the head, and we didn't respond to it maybe the way we should have. And so we start coming off the path that we originally intended to be on. And there's this tension because we don't know how to get back onto the path, because instead of stepping into something, we cry out to God and ask Him to fix it for us. But He isn't going to just fix it for us if we don't do anything in order to work with Him. Does that make sense? And so that's kind of the gist of this series and the groundwork that we laid last week. And if you weren't here last week or you missed the sermon or anything, go online, vineyard05.com, and you can catch the whole sermon, and it will get you up to speed with where we are today. So today's message is going to point us to Jesus. That's a surprise, right? Because we're in church. But today's message will bring to the forefront how challenging following Jesus can be sometimes. And how challenging the scriptures can be sometimes. Because when the scriptures challenge us, we have two options: accept it or reject it, follow it or walk away from it. And we're going to look at some stuff today where Jesus drew a line in the sand. And I think this is very interesting because this is going to help us. No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, or maybe you're not even sure if you want to walk with Jesus yet, this will help us talk to other people about Jesus and maybe answer some questions that they might have that they're a little hesitant about following Jesus. So today is all about our direction and who or what are we going to follow to get there. And for most of us, for most of you who have worked in the delivery field, I have this analogy. So it's the delivery field. Growing up, for me, it was pizza delivery. You know, had some friends that we called them flying pies. If you delivered pizzas, you were flying pies. But now we've got everything, right? We've got DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats. And I mean, I can call Five Bean Coffee and order a cup of coffee to be delivered to my house. That's where we are in life now. But when you're delivering something, let's say you work for a delivery company and you've got a large order of food and you're taking it to a business, right? You put the address in your phone and you drive there and you get there and you get to the parking lot and maybe you see a couple different doors and now what? What do I do? Well, you might see somebody coming out the door and they wave to you, you know? So you're like, okay, there it is. So you get your food and you follow this person into the building. You might go into an elevator, you might go up some, you come out, you go through some doors, a couple lefts, a right, before you finally reach your destination. And if you're like me, you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to find my way out of this maze? Can I just tell you a quick story real quick? You know, I told the chicken story last week. I was going to put a picture up, but this is a story of, and this is kind of like what we do. This may or may not tie into the sermon, but I was doing a hospital visit. So as pastors, we have these badges that say that we're ministers, and we can get anywhere in the hospital, you know, the ICU, anywhere, because we're pastors. And so I did this hospital visit, and of course, like, I'm taking all these lefts and rights and twists and turns, and so I meet the person that I'm going, and I spend some time with them. And then on my way out, I go through these doors, and I'm like, this doesn't look like how I got in here. And I start walking by all these lockers and stuff, and then everybody in, like, white coats and doctors, and there's no more patients or anything, and I'm like, oh my goodness, somehow I made it back to where all the doctors are, so I just acted like I was supposed to be there. And I was like, doctor? Doctor? Till I finally found my way out. But isn't that what we do when we're lost in life? We act like we know what we're doing. So, anyways, I do a lot of stupid things like that. But so if you're following somebody into, you know, so here's the gist of that story, the delivery story. Why is it that we have no problem following a stranger to a destination, but when it comes to our spiritual life or our eternal life, we hesitate? When somebody introduces us to Jesus, or maybe we open up the scriptures for the first time, we hesitate because we want to know if this is worth it. We want to know if this is for real. Jesus, are you for real? I remember my first prayer to Jesus, kind of like my second or third, but it was like, if you're for real. Now, I want to know if you're for real. Why is that we do that as human beings? Well, for one, I think it's because we're complex. We're complex. We have a lot of stuff going on inside of us. And we'll get to the second part later on today. But being complex is okay. I think sometimes we have a tendency to beat ourselves up because I'm an overthinker, or I don't think too much, or I ask too many questions. That's okay. That is how God designed you. So once you get that settled, then fine. Be who you are. That's who God created you to be. But we want proof that Jesus is for real. And, you know, when you talk to somebody who's been following Jesus for a long time, you'll often hear them say things like this. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't be this far in life if it wasn't for Jesus. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Jesus. And I think they say these things, they use these sentences like that, because they understand that they were heading in a direction in life due to the decisions that they were making in the past and currently making. Someone introduced them to Jesus. Someone invited them to church. Somehow, they got a hold of Jesus. And they changed their direction in life and began following him. And life became better. Remember, last week we talked about Jesus never said, I am the end-all, be-all to your problems. I am the solution to everything that you need a fix for it. He said, follow me, and I will show you a better life. So we make a decision to invite Jesus into our lives, and we find out that no matter what storms come in our lives, if we stay close to Jesus, he will guide us and help us navigate through those storms, and we will be better people for it. So we're going to read a passage, and we're going to be in the Gospel of John all morning in chapter 6. So if you want to, go ahead and start turning there. And I'm going to set up the story that we're looking at. So in John chapter 6, and also I just want to encourage you to John chapter 6 this week. Make this your chapter of the Bible to read. Meditate on it. Ask Jesus questions about it. And let it get into your spirit about what was really going on. Put yourself in the story. Because in John chapter 6, in the very beginning of the chapter is when Jesus feeds 5,000 people. A little boy has a lunch. He's got some bread and some fish, and Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 people that day. And also, he heals everybody who needs it. He's been preaching all day long. It's been a long day. At the end of the day, he tells the disciples, tell everybody to go home. You guys, they were in an area that was called the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. So he says, listen, you guys, get in the boat, cross the sea, go over to Capernaum. I'm going to disappear for a minute. I'm going to go spend some time with the Father. I'll meet you guys over there. This wasn't anything out of the ordinary because Jesus was always disappearing to spend time with the Father. He knew how important it was to spend time with God. So this wasn't anything out of the ordinary for the disciples. But the people saw all of this, and they knew that the disciples left and Jesus wasn't with them. Story says they were 3 to 4 miles out into the lake, into the Sea of Galilee. And guess who comes walking up beside them? Jesus. He does that fancy walking on water miracle. Like, tonight's the night I'm gonna walk out and meet these guys. So he walks on water. This is another miraculous miracle that he does. So then the next morning, everybody wakes up and they see that nobody's there. The disciples, Jesus, nobody's there. So they get in their boats and they hightail it across the sea. And they meet up with Jesus and everybody. So here's where we're going to pick up. John chapter 6, verse 25. Let me find it here. So verse 24 says, "So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got in their boats and went across to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'" So they often called him rabbi and teacher. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was teaching wherever he could. He was bringing the kingdom of God wherever he could do it. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." Now, something that's very interesting here is that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And he's speaking to mostly a Jewish audience right now. So if they knew the scriptures, if they've been listening to their religious leaders, the prophet Daniel was the one who referred to the coming Messiah as the Son of Man. This is very important that he said this out loud to them because they should have picked up on this. But of course they didn't because they were so focused on doing some miracles. Jesus was like, don't worry about that. I'm not going to give you more bread today. I'm not going to do that. But he basically says this: you're so focused on the food that I can give you, that I gave you yesterday, that you're completely missing the miracles that I did. He says, don't waste your time looking after perishable things. Spend your time in where your eternity lies, and it lies in me. That's what he's telling them here. He flat out tells them in the end of verse 27 that God the Father has given me his seal of approval. I am the way to eternal life in heaven. He flat out tells them this. And they still don't get it. A lot of times, and some of this is a little bit of alluding to, but they should have picked up on this. At least when I read the scriptures, I think they should have. But if I put myself there, I don't know what I would have done. Later on, you're going to see, I probably would have done what everybody else did. But here's the thing. Sometimes we look at this and we're like, why don't they get what he's saying? Do you often wonder when you ask Jesus for an answer to something and you don't quite get it the way you want it, but eventually when you look back on it, you're like, oh yeah, he was there. Because Jesus will often try to draw the answer out of us. You see, if I want to work out and get strong and get muscles, I don't just go to the store and buy muscles and put them on. I have to work at it. I have to work out. I have to be disciplined. I have to put some time and effort into it. And that's kind of what we talked about last week. When you build your life on solid ground, it takes time. We become stronger spiritually. Our trust grows stronger in Jesus when he draws this stuff out of us and we work with him. Is this what you're talking about, Jesus? And you move in that direction. Even if you're not moving in the right direction, you're giving him something to work with instead of just, please help me, I need your help. And so he's trying to draw this out of them, but he's actually really coming right out and saying it. And this is also very similar to something else that he said in Matthew chapter 6. When he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else you need will fall into place." Matthew chapter 6, that passage has been rolling around in my spirit for a couple of months now. You know, seek first the kingdom of God. This is what he's telling them here too. We have all kinds of stuff going on in our nation right now, right? We have all kinds of division. We don't have any listening. We only have yelling. And we've got racial tension. We've got political tension. We've got COVID tension. We've got all this tension going on. And instead of picking a side, I believe the Lord's been telling me, seek first the kingdom of God. Because you do me no good as a witness when all you do is yell and point fingers to the other side. Nobody cares what I think. I mean, you might. But it's more important for me to listen to another person than it is to say, here's what I think about this situation. Because when you listen, you validate the other person's stance on things. And you will find some common ground if you go about it seeking first the kingdom of God. Just a little side note. But back to the story here. If I'm reading their response correctly, it appears to me that they don't catch what he's saying about him being the Son of God. Because they respond like this in verse 28. We want to perform God's works too. What should we do? We want to do what you did yesterday. What do we need to do? Well, Jesus said, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he sent. Believe in the one he sent. He just got done telling them. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. He said to follow me. God the Father has given me his seal of approval. All you have to do, all God wants you to do, is believe in me. Believe in me. It's so simple. We make it so complicated. All God wants us to do is believe in his Son, Jesus. That's it. Why is it that we will follow a stranger to a destination, but when it comes to our eternal life, we hesitate when it comes to following Jesus? We always want more proof that Jesus is real. And I think, number one, we are complex human beings, but the deeper root of the issue, I think, is that we have a sinful nature. We have an enemy out there that, you know, Jesus once said, you are either for me or you are against me. There's no middle ground here. There's two camps, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell. You are in one of two camps. When it's all said and done with, we're going to wind up in one of two places. So we have an enemy that rules this earth. This is the devil's kingdom. He has been given the authority to rule the earth right now. You want to know why it's so chaotic? It's mostly spiritual, and we're falling for it. But we have a sinful nature, and we have things in our lives that are vying for our attention that might not be the best things that we're holding on to. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Because the scriptures, here's the deal, we're going to find out. The scriptures reveal to us who we are on the inside. And I either have to lay this addiction down. I have to forgive this person. I have to love people unconditionally. And that is harder to do than to just walk away from all of this and live the life that I've been living. But your eternal destination lies in making that change. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. Listen, if you just follow the Son of God. That's all God wants from you. In Romans chapter 10 is my favorite, all-time favorite verse when it comes to telling people about Jesus. Because it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, my four favorite words, you shall be saved. It's not that hard. Because if you say it with your mouth, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. You are the Lord of my life. You can have everything within me. And you believe that God raised him from the dead. That is the first step to your eternal destination in heaven. Everything else, if you make that your priority, everything else will fall in place. But the people totally missed this point of focusing on Jesus, the one who God sent. They were more focused on the miracles that he did. They were more focused on the food that he miraculously provided for everybody. There was probably some murmurings on the other side of the lake that Jesus had walked out there and then got into the boat with us. And this is just like human nature, isn't it? We want the instant, we want the flashy, and we want to be able to impress those around us. Well, following Jesus isn't instant. It takes time to get to where we need to be in our lives. There are things that we need to let go of. There are things that we need to change. There are disciplines that we need to put into place. It's not instant. It's not flashy. God isn't flashy. The devil's flashy. That's how he gets our attention. And Jesus, if you read the Gospels the way I read them, he didn't care about impressing people. As a matter of fact, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, especially the religious leaders. So then the people start talking. I'm going to paraphrase it down to where we need to get to our next verse we're going to read. They start talking to him about the Old Testament miracles that they knew God did in the Old Testament. For instance, they knew that Moses led the Israelites out from Egypt and into the Promised Land, which was Israel. But for 40 years, they walked in circles in the desert. But God miraculously fed them with bread from heaven. It was called manna. Every night they would go to bed, and every night this manna would come down. They'd wake up, it would be on the ground, they would go collect it, and they would make all kinds of, you know, breads and pitas and who knows what else. And then that wasn't good enough for them, so then God said, here, every day I will make quail appear, and you'll have all the meat that you'll have. And during that 40 years, did you know that not a stitch of their sandals or any of their clothes wore out either? God miraculously took care of them. So they see Jesus doing something like this, and they're like, we want to do what you're doing. Jesus is like, just believe in me. That's all your Father wants you to do. So then Jesus says, listen, I am the bread of life. Anyone who follows me will not go hungry. They're not listening to him. You ever have a conversation with somebody and they just aren't listening? Dads, they just don't listen. And no matter what you say, they continue to come at you with basically their agenda. And that's what the people are saying here. So then in verse 53, I think Jesus was saying, you know what, guys? You're not going to listen to me. So I'm going to say something to you. It's going to wig everybody here out. You're totally not going to. It's going to force you to, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. You're not hearing me. So then he says in verse 53, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life within you. And that's as silent as it is now. And I could just see the 12 disciples like, oh, gosh, why does he do this? Why does he say these things? He was trying to tell the people, listen, I am eternal life. So, yeah, what he said was completely weird, and it would wig me out. But here's the thing. He was talking about his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. His shed blood, the innocent blood of his that was shed. Because without that shed blood, we could not receive forgiveness from him. He is the only one that has the authority to forgive us of our sins. Those of you that have experienced the forgiveness of your sins, you know what I'm talking about. I started reading the Bible in February, and in December is when I woke up one day and was just like, oh, I feel totally different. I feel like 1,000 pounds have been lifted off of me because all of my sins from the past have been forgiven. I remember I was like, whoa, what in the world? Whew, I feel good. He lifted all of that guilt and that shame and everything that I was carrying around with me that I got used to carrying around. That is what the shed blood of Jesus does. All of our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven once we invite him into our lives. And then the broken body is what gives Jesus the authority to bring healing and wholeness and wellness into our bodies. So Jesus was alluding to communion, the Last Supper. When we drink the wine, when we drink the juice, it is symbolic of the shed blood. When we eat the bread, when we eat that wafer, it is symbolic of the broken body. But I think if just me here, he knew that if he explained this to them, they weren't going to buy into it anyway. So he's like, listen, here's the deal. And then it says, many people departed from him. They started bickering amongst each other, and they walked away from him. And then, before we get into something, I want to break down verse 60, 65 real quick for you, because verse 65 says this. This is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. To me, when I read that, it's a little bit confusing because there is a theology out there that's called predestination theology. And there are people, and that's okay if you believe in that. I don't. The Vineyard doesn't. Predestination theology says there are those who are predestined for heaven, and there are those who are predestined for hell, and that's how God did it, and that's that. Well, 1 or 2 Peter chapter 3 says that God's will is that none should perish without getting to know him, and that all come to repentance. That one verse blows predestination right out of the water. What I believe Jesus is saying here is that the Father and I are one. I am one with the Father is one in me. He says this in John chapter 17. And it is the Father who puts that appetite for the bread of life into our spirits and draws us to Jesus. That's what he's saying right there. Think of it like this. Dads, moms, dads, when you have a child, aren't they the apple of your eye? Aren't they the best? Aren't they better than everybody else's kids? Because mine are. You guys are. But don't we point people to our kids? We don't say, look at what I've done with them. I have made them the best kids in the world. We say, look at how great my kid is at soccer. Look at how great my kid is on the piano. Look at how great my kids are. They are really succeeding and achieving in life. That is how the Father is with Jesus. Look at my Son. I sent him for you. He is the way to eternal life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three different, but they're all one. They all work together. So that's what Jesus is saying there. And again, I think he has every right at this point in the conversation to be a little bit confusing, because you're either with him or you're not at this point. So then in verse 66, here's where we're at. Let me find it. Verse 66. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Well, you start talking really weird there, Jesus. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. To me, this entire passage is just fascinating about what was going down at that scene. How many people were there? 20, 30, 50, 100? Many of them argued about what he just said, about eternity lying within him, and they left. Jesus drew a line in the sand, and many of them walked away from him. When I read that, I ask myself, what would I do? Because this is crazy talk right now, he's saying. Would I stay? Would I go? Would I accept it? Would I reject it? Honestly, I don't know. I can read this now and say, well, what is the matter with these guys? Why is everybody leaving him? Don't they know? I think he drew the line in the sand because they weren't listening to him anyways. And he's like, I'm just going to lay down some deep theological stuff, and I'm going to see what you do with it. That's kind of what I think. And then I wonder, when Peter said, Lord, to whom would we go? Who would we follow? You are the Holy One sent by God. You know, I wonder if Peter was thinking, don't look at me, man. I want to walk away. I don't want to be a part of this. I want to distance myself from you. And then now this is just me making this, he looks at them, but he looks Peter right in the eye. What do you 12 want to do? You guys want to stick around with me or not? And then that ever so gently loving nudge of the Father's voice said, Peter, remember the direction your life was heading before you started following Jesus? It wasn't good. You were doing this and that and the other. You started following Jesus. He challenged you with things, but your life became better for it. And Peter was at a crossroads, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words that give eternal life, and we believe in you. In that moment, Peter sees what most of everybody else missed. Peter. You know, as human beings, it's often easier to walk away from a challenging moment than it is to accept it and walk in it or through it. It's easier at first, because sooner or later we're going to have to deal with that. This is exactly what Jesus is doing right here. He's challenging them with some deep theological stuff that was going to cause them to make a decision. You don't have the power to feed thousands of people and bring bread down from heaven. You're so focused on the flashy and the instant and the I want to impress everybody with what you're doing. You didn't even hear anything I said about eternal life. And that was the most important of it all. Maybe some of you today are facing some challenges. Maybe it's with the scriptures. Maybe it's with your family. Maybe it's in your life. Maybe it's at work. And you're at a crossroads. You're at a fork in the road. But you're sitting at the stop sign, because you don't want to make that decision. I want to encourage you to invite Jesus in to help you make that decision. It should comfort us that the very people who were closest to Jesus struggled with things that he said. I'm sure that Jesus could read their expressions, and that's why he said, what do you guys want to do? Are you with me or not? And they had to look him in the eye and say, we're with you. We are with you. But here's the thing. Blessed are those who come to the conclusion, if not Jesus, then who? Who am I going to follow? If I don't follow Jesus, well, you're following something. And Jesus leads to eternal life in heaven. So I'll wrap it up with this. The gist of this message is to challenge us to know that even the disciples were challenged to the point of wondering if they were going to continue following Jesus or not. He drew a line in the sand that day. When we change the direction of our eternal destination and choose to follow Jesus, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be challenging. There are going to be things that we're not going to like. But Jesus says, if you follow me, I'll point you in a better direction. We will have issues that will challenge us, but it will be for the better in all areas of our life. Nobody wants us to succeed in life more than Jesus does. Nobody wants us to help us through these tough issues more than Jesus does. Because those challenges and the results of them, if we lean on Jesus, come from heaven. Many of the challenges that we deal with on the inside, this inner conflict, see, the scripture reveals who we are on the inside, and we can either close it up and walk away from it. I had a friend many, many years ago. He was a bit of a mentor in my early walk, and he said this: when it comes to sin in your life, would you like God to cut it out with a surgeon's scalpel, or would you like him to use a wooden spoon? Because the choice is yours. Which is going to be easier? When it comes to the challenges from heaven, it is Jesus, it is God's Holy Spirit that helps us respond in a way that aligns with Scripture. Amen? So we're gonna in just a few moments, we're going to move into a time of worship. And I want to encourage you, as we are worshiping Jesus, for you to be honest with Him. God, I need you to help me. If you're sitting at a stop sign and you've got some challenges in your life, and you haven't been able to take the foot off the brake and move forward with this, I believe that God's Holy Spirit has an answer for you today, has a word for you today, has something to give you that will push you in the direction. And even if you're not sure, press into that. Because I believe with all my heart that challenge will be answered today, and the area that you need to move in will be given to you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for your words that can be challenging. We might not always like them, but you lead to eternal life in heaven. And I thank you for that, Jesus. I pray for anybody here today that may be sitting on the fence about whether or not I want to follow Jesus. I pray for anybody here today that you know, Kim started the year out with a sermon, a 21-day challenge, that if you have something that you have tethered yourself to that's keeping you from being where you want to be in Christ, I pray that you cut that tether, put whatever it is up on the shelf, give it to Jesus this morning. Because when we are sincere and when we are honest with Him, even if you can't let go of it, let Him know, I can't let go of this. And He'll help you. He'll help you. So God, I thank you for that. We invite your presence in here, Lord Jesus. Be with us this morning, God. Help us to understand it's as simple as believing and trusting in you, Jesus. We pray this in your name.